us to, God designed us to, and God created us and gave us the tools and the ability through his son Jesus Christ to go forth and conquer mountains in our lives. What do those mountains look like? Some of those mountains are personal. What do I need to do within myself? What mountains am I facing? Is it lying? Is it cheating? Is it stealing? Is it murder? What is it? You have your own mountains to conquer. I have my own mountains to conquer. But beyond that, I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have mountains to conquer as a husband, as a father, to be the best man I can be for my wife, to be the best dad I can be for my children. But those are mountains in my life that I have to go out and conquer. I can just sit at the foot of the hill and take the easy road out and just go fishing every weekend by myself. And every night after work, or hunting, or golfing, or whatever you do. And ladies, whatever you do, you can go Pinteresting all night long and ignore your family. Whatever you do. What's the other one that's popular? Junk journaling. You can go junk journal all week long. Whatever you're into. Also, your job is another mountain you have to conquer. How many of us go to work and we gripe and complain about our employer, we gripe and complain about our coworkers, we gripe and complain, and we don't look at the gift God has given us of employment? There's a lot of the world that is unemployed and can't get a job because there's none to have. Having a job is a blessing from the Lord, and you should use it with all your might to the best of your abilities, and you should bless others through it, just not yourself. Also, we have the mountain of friends. How do we interact with friends that have great, fruitful relationships? How do you interact with your friends? I like them as long as they're giving me stuff and making me happy, but the first time they don't make me happy, we're not friends anymore. They're no longer a blessing, they're a cursing. How many of us have done that in our lives? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can. Church is another mountain we have to conquer. Much of the world looks very poorly upon church. It's a mountain in a lot of people's lives. You have to look beyond the building, beyond the people, and say, the church is the bride of Christ. So we need to interact with the church accordingly, as though it's the bride of Christ, because that's how the Bible defines it. Ministry may be another mountain we have to conquer in our lives. What has God called you to do? Who has he called you to minister to? Who's he put in your path? Because I believe that every member of the body of Christ is a minister. Not just pastors. Pastors are one of the fivefold ministry given to the church. And much greater than that, the whole church, they're all ministers to the world around them, or should be. Kids, or those that work in the school. The school is another mountain we have to climb and conquer. We need to infiltrate the school with the love of Christ, with the laws and ordinances of Christ. How many of you know that God is being removed piece by piece from school and society? And much in part because we, the church, have disengaged from school and society. So it's not their fault. We just let them walk in and take over. It's our fault because we haven't went in and conquered those mountains of school and society around us. So how do we conquer them? How do we get over them? For me, I try until I get offended and I give up and quit. Because that's what God calls us to do as Christians, right? I tried once, God, and they offended me, so I quit. I tried, but they said no, so I quit. I'm glad Jesus didn't quit. And I'm supposed to be like Jesus. So if I'm supposed to be like Jesus, even when they whip me and beat me and nail me to a cross and hurl insults and strip me naked, I should still say yes and not quit. Because that's what Jesus did for me. So that's what I should do for you and the rest of society around me if God calls me to it. I shouldn't stop short of that. That's the end result in my mind of what living out Christ-likeness is. is suffering the greatest suffering imaginable and still saying, yes, Lord, I will serve you. Still saying, yes, community, I will love you. And though you reject me time and time again, I'm going to keep showing up at community events. I'm going to keep showing up at community meetings. And I'm going to continue to be engaged in the community. I'm going to continue to be engaged in my children's lives. I'm going to continue to be engaged in the church. Though you may reject me, I'm still going to love you. It might be harder today than it was yesterday, but I'm still going to love you, and I believe it's going to get better and better as we grow together in life. There were some people in the Bible that were getting disengaged from God. They were losing their focus. And if we can stay focused on what God has called us to and not let all the distractions grab our attention and focus, all the temptations, the sins, the deceit, the lies, if we can avoid those and just keep focused on what has God called us to do as Christians, then we'll stay on track. When I'm riding dirt bike, it's really easy to hit a tree. It just is. Because you focus on the tree you don't want to hit and you'll hit it. But if I pick my line and focus on where I want to go, it doesn't matter how big the trees are. It doesn't matter how big the rocks and logs are. If I stay on my line and stay focused on where I want to go instead of what I don't want to go or don't want to hit, my tire is only about 5 inches wide. I only need a 5-inch gap to get through. But I've got to stay focused on where I'm going. Because if I don't, I'm going to look at where I don't want to go, and that's where I'm going to end up. Every year, people drive into the Clearwater River because it's so beautiful. They do. They don't want to go in the river. But as they're driving, they're watching the river. You go where your focus is. What's God called us to do as the church? I'm going to jump ahead a slide to Psalms 14:2. And I hope we hit record today. We did. Awesome. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. God's looking down at us. Who understands my precepts, my laws? Who understands my motives? Who understands my moral and value system? And who's seeking me for them? We're supposed to be a pursuer of God. We're supposed to pursue righteousness, pursue the kingdom to bring glory to God. That's one thing we should always be focused on. Are my actions today pursuing God? Are my actions today leading me to understand who God is more? Are my actions today leading someone else to understand who God is? What are your actions? What are your processes? What are your thoughts? Because we should be focused on, okay, if we're supposed to be pursuing God, how does my lifestyle line up with that? Is it in line with that? Because if not, we're hitting trees and rocks, sticks and stones. And then in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 through 27. 1 Chronicles 16:23 through 27. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Now, as I read this first part, 23 and 24, it says, "Sing to the Lord all the earth." To me, that exempts no one, correct? That means we all have a purpose to sing praise to the Lord. Each and every one of us should be focused on that. Are my words praiseworthy? Are my thoughts praiseworthy? Are what I'm viewing praiseworthy? Proclaim his salvation day after day. There are no weekends in praising God. We should be praising him day after day, meaning every day of our lives, we should be singing praise to the Lord. We should bring glory to his name, declare his glory among the nations. So that's anywhere in the world we go as a nation, right? Even out in the ocean, it's governed by a nation. So anywhere we go on earth, I wonder if space is exempt. What do you think? I don't think so. Anywhere we go on earth, we should be bringing glory to God. Everywhere we are. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. So it includes all people groups even. So we should always be oozing praise wherever we go. We should always be exuding the joy of the Lord wherever we go. I was visiting some friends a while back, and there was a guy there that was at their house. And after I left, he goes, "You know, that Arby, now there's a guy that knows how to have a good time without alcohol." People should say that about you. They should see that in you and go, "Why does the rest of the world need 10 beers to have that much fun? And Arby's just that much fun." People should say that about you. Because the joy of the Lord, the praise of the Lord should be flowing out of you. And God's exciting. His praise, what's that? Yes, he is. Woohoo! I have one person agreeing with me today. Awesome. We should be singing praise to him all the time. Some of my best praise times are when I'm alone in my truck. Because then I don't have to worry about what y'all think about my singing. I don't have to worry about if I'm on tune or on beat or on rhythm or on pitch. I can just sing praise to God, and it gets crazy. So nobody bug my truck. Because then you'll think I'm crazy too. So God is to be feared. Do you fear God enough to do the right thing? Because I believe God is a just God. And I believe he's going to hold you and I accountable for our sins, for our wrongdoings, our wrong actions. It might not keep us out of heaven, but we're still going to be judged on our actions. We're still going to be judged on our works. We're still going to be judged on what did you do this Friday night instead of what I asked you to do. We still have to be accountable for those things before God. But we should have enough fear of God in our lives that it compels us to do the right thing in every situation, whether it costs us or not, whether it's easy or not. This is right before God, period. So it's my only option. It's not multiple choice. It's, does it line up with the Word of God in my life? Does it or doesn't it? It's that simple. But we like to paint these gray areas. Well, today it's a Saturday morning, so it'll be okay today. But it's not okay on Sunday morning because we go to church that day. Amen. You should fear the Lord with a holy and reverent fear. I'm going to jump back now to my Mark 11. I hope that's not too much of a headache in the sound booth. Those people have some of the toughest jobs. All right. 11, 12 through 25. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." Wasn't that kind of rude of Jesus? It's not even the season for figs, so it doesn't have figs. And he curses the tree to never produce fruit again. Ouch. Like I said, there's no weekends in God. We should always be producing fruit. And his disciples heard him say this. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow any to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So Jesus has a pretty high standard. He wants a tree that's out of season for fruit to produce fruit and bear forth fruit to give life to others. I think deeper than that, then he goes into the temple and they're in there making money, making profit, making gain, not for the temple, but for themselves. But where's the temple in the New Testament? So what are we inviting into the temple of the Holy Ghost? How are we taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost? Because what Jesus' problem was, it wasn't that he was with PETA and didn't like animals being sold. But it was that people were using the temple for their personal gain rather than the glory of God, rather than the pursuit of righteousness, rather through for the edifying and building up of the saints. They were using it for their own glory, for their own gain, for their own vanity. And just like the tree, the fig tree, I think it's more of a metaphor than anything. But the trees out there looks like it's in full bloom, looks like it should have fruit, it looks healthy, it looks vibrant, it has leaves. But when you really get inside of the tree, there's no fruit being produced. It's just a charade. It just appears to have life in it. But there might be a little life, enough to put on a good show, but there's not enough life to sustain fruit. We as Christians are called to produce fruit, to give life to others, not just ourselves. We don't just get to take care of us and go to heaven and be happy. But God calls us to take care of the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to take care of our families, to take care of our wives, to take care of our society. But are we doing that? Because Jesus says, you're cursed if you're not. You're going to wither and die if you don't start producing fruit. In Matthew 3:10, John the Baptist talking here, preparing the way for Jesus. Matthew 3:10. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Ouch. When I read verses like this, I have to examine my own life. What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with the skills, talents, and abilities that God has given me? Am I using them to glorify you, God? And I believe that each of us have a different role to fulfill. I don't think you all have to do what I do. I don't think I have to do what you do. But I have to look at myself and say, what am I doing with what God has given me? I have to look at my own plate, not to look at your plate and judge you, but to begin looking at myself and what am I doing with what God has given me? Because if it was up to me, I would have a kennel full of hound dogs and I would go chase bears and lions every day season's open. That's just what I love to do that. Absolutely love it. And I could do it 5 or 7 days a week. And you can ask my wife because I used to do it. But one day I had to look and say, how is it benefiting? How is it producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Who's saving a lot of elk calves? But what is it doing for my family? What is it doing for my life spiritually? What is it doing for the kingdom of God? It wasn't doing a lot. So I no longer have hound dogs. Haven't had for a lot of years now. Because I've been sowing into the kingdom. But what's God asking of you? So I want to tell you a story. Can we go to story time? Please, yes. So I shared a little bit last Sunday during ministry time about my walk with God the week before. And I really felt the God this weekend, or this week rather, that he just wouldn't let me get away from it and wanted me to go a little deeper with it. And I feel that there's some of you that are stuck where you're at today because of an experience or a situation in your life that's happened. And you've drawn a line in the sand and said, I'm comfortable here, God. I'm staying here. And I'm not moving from this spot. And maybe some of you today would be here and you've never even accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, you're in a great spot today because you're at the starting line. So I went for my walk with God. Of course, I left my house. And we'll call the house we'll call salvation. That's our starting point in our walk of Christianity, our walk with Christ. So I drove up the highway about an hour of paved road. Of course, it was all smooth because none of the road was damaged from winter. No, actually, the road was in good shape. It was wide. There were margins. There were yellow and white lines that told me where to drive. I could drive most of it at 55. It was easy going. Had the radio on, was singing my own worship songs that haven't been in print yet. And it was easy. The first hour was like 55 miles. And I was going to some lakes I'd never been to before. And they were only 25 miles off the highway to the trailhead. And I thought, no problem, I can get there in a day and back. It'll be easy. So I leave the main paved road and I start up this gravel road. And for about 7 miles, it's pretty wide, nice, you know, graded gravel road, no washboards, no potholes, easy going. Took just, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And then at the end of 7 miles, there's a sign in the saddle that says, no trailers beyond this road, unfit for travel, automatic vehicles, not, what'd it say? Said something about, you shouldn't take automatic vehicles on this road anyway. I forget how it was worded. It's like, that's an interesting sign. So I start down this road and it's getting pretty narrow and it's bumpy and rutty and twisty and windy. And in about 3 miles, it opens up to this creek and there's a campground there and there's an outhouse and That's a beautiful creek. It looks like it's full of fish. I want to go fish it one day. And it was tempting to say, well, why not just stay here and go fishing? Why not? It looked comfortable. I had endured enough hard road. But I still had another, 15 miles to go. So now I'm about an hour and 40 minutes into my journey. We'll keep going. So I went, and as soon as you cross the creek, you start up a really windy, steep, twisty grade with a lot of big ruts. And the first corner you could pull out on, it looked like that was the give-up point because there were a lot of turnaround marks on that corner. I think a lot of people got scared of the straight drop-offs. But I kept climbing and went another 10 miles, and you drop into another creek drainage. It's like, wow, here's another nice spot to camp. You have water and shade trees. It's beautiful. But I still have another 5 miles to the trailhead. So I continue on the road, and it gets worse every leg of the trip. There's more rocks, more ruts, more logs. And the logs are cut out like 6 inches wider than your truck. So you're thinking, I could blow a tire at any moment, and there are hundreds of them along the road. So I had to stay focused on where I was going. It was actually pretty intense driving with the sun shining through the trees, and you know how it gets sun and shade and sun and shade, and you lose perception and visibility, and it's not real great. I'm like, this is kind of treacherous, and you could blow two tires really quick and not have enough spares. So I finally climbed up to the trailhead, and I got there and look at my watch. I'm like, wow. It's been 3.5 hours since I left my house. The last 25 miles took 2.5 hours. Does that sound long and treacherous? How many times in our spiritual lives do we just go, oh, it's getting too long, it's getting too hard, it's getting too bumpy? And we just say, the creek looks good to me. I'm going to camp here. And beyond that, I had to hike into the lake, which was 1.5 hours away, on a hot, steep, dusty ridge. But when I got to the lake, it was beautiful. It was worth it all. It was gorgeous. I love high mountain lakes. You could see the fish swimming in the water as you're hiking down to the lake. The water was this aqua blue color. I got down, it was nice and warm, good swimming temperature. But if we never endure the journey, we never get to experience the lake. And I believe sometimes in our lives, producing that fruit is a journey that we have to work out and walk out every day. And sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes life gets messy. And the devil is always sending distractions to us. He's always trying to jam up our path. He's always trying to throw a log into the side of us. And if we'll turn and focus on the log, we're going to hit it. But God didn't call us to focus on the log. He said, come and follow me. Come and focus on me. Come and pursue me. Come and sing your praise and give glory to me. And if we'll continue to stay focused on God and who He is, because I got news for you. When you leave the lake, you got to go through another hard journey to get back to where you started. And sometimes in Christianity, we think, well, if I just accept Jesus, I've arrived and I'm there and everything's going to be wonderful. But our spiritual lives are made up of mountaintop experiences. And we can't survive for long on the mountaintop because the winter snows come and drive us out. So we have to get good at making the journey of conquering mountain, mountain, mountain. And we have to continue conquering mountains throughout our whole existence, throughout our whole lives. We have to continue producing fruit, not for our sake, but for His sake, for His glory. Because God is honored when I go do something I can't possibly do. Because then people say, that's not Arby Shown doing that. Who's helping him? Who did that? When we bought this property, the community said, you can't buy that property, it's too expensive. And we bought the property. When we talked about building this building, the community said, you can't build that building. Not in Kamiyai and Kuski. There's no way. Guess what? God built the building. And when we continue to cast vision about what we want to do in our community, the fruit we want to produce and see, we can't do it. But we with God can do it. With God, all things are possible. And we as his sons and daughters, as followers of Christ, need to be in the community, need to be in our homes, need to be in our schools, need to be in our workplace, and we need to be proclaiming his goodness. We need to be proclaiming how awesome our God is. Sometimes in our lives, the road is easy. It's wide open, just like the pavement, and we're just cruising along, don't have to pay much attention. But there are also times that get like the gravel portion of the road. Things start to get dusty. Things start to get a little bit slippery on the corners because of the loose gravel. It starts to get a little windy and twisty. And we have to learn how to navigate through those positions in our lives. We have to say, okay, it's just part of the journey. It's just something we have to get through, and God says he'll carry us through it. We have to be able to look at temptations like the campground. When I saw the campground, God said to me, there's comfort, there's space, there's luxury, there's water, but it's not what I have in store for you. Sometimes Satan will send us a counterfeit to distract us and say, oh, but look how great it is. Why don't you have this? And we have to stay focused on, God, what have you called me to do? Because I can look at my kids and say, well, they're doing better than 50% of their classmates. I think they're doing fine. God didn't call me to raise kids that only do 50%. He called me to push them to their full potential in all their abilities, in all their skills, in all their giftings. So to do that, I have to push their envelope of where's your comfort zone, where's your max capacity, and let's continue to grow that. Let's continue to develop it. I can't just say, oh, well, he doesn't want to do that or she doesn't want to do that. I just say, no, you're going to learn to do it. Because how many kids like to do dishes? Anyone? Nobody's hand is up. Oh, there's a hand. There's one hand. I have to teach my kids to do dishes and to learn to enjoy it and to learn the benefits of it, that you don't get sick because you wash away the germs. It's a wonderful thing to do dishes. But in our lives, we have to learn to push through those hard spots. And for some of us, maybe just getting up every day and reading our Bible and spending time in prayer, maybe that's the mountain we need to conquer right now in our lives. For some of us, maybe it's having faith that even though we can't see a solution, even though we can't see an end result to the problem we're facing today, we have to apply our faith, and the mountain we need to conquer today is faith. I need faith in my life right now to conquer this mountain. What mountain are you facing today? Because I don't believe there's just one mountain. I believe there's multiple mountains, and if we'll expand our vision, there's a lot more to God than we ever realized or ever thought. And if we'll continue to look out and say, God, enlarge my vision, enlarge my territory, enlarge my mind, enlarge my capacity, enlarge my thinking. God is unlimited, so I don't believe you and I should be limited. In the last part of Mark there, he's saying, if you say to this mountain, move, the mountain can be cast into the sea. My faith isn't there yet, but I'm trying to get there. Sometimes in our lives, we believe the lies of the devil. We believe his schemes, his tricks. And we start looking and going, that can't happen, not for me. But God's word says, say to this mountain, move. and it shall be cast into the sea. God has given us power and authority over our mountains in our lives. God has given us power and authority to be the greatest parents on earth, to be the greatest spouses on earth, to be the greatest citizens and employees on earth. Are you taking that authority? Are you taking that power? And what are you doing with it? Because taking it, I believe, is producing fruit. Using what God has given us produces fruit. But we've got to take it. We've got to use it. And we've got to know it's not a one-climb event. Like, I've arrived. Woohoo. I don't believe there's retirement in God. I don't believe there's weekends in God. I believe we should be fully engaged in what the Lord is doing, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. You might be on your weekend, but it's not God's weekend. And I believe in rest and relaxation and camping and hunting and fishing and shopping. I don't like to shop, but for those of you that do. But I believe that as we're shopping, we should be engaged with God, saying, who would you like me to speak to? Who would you like me to pray with? Who would you like me to encounter today? I don't believe we should be so focused on things of this world that we miss out on what God's calling us to see and engage in and do. I'm going to close there for today. We're going to pick up next week with the rest of my notes. I know some of you are tired and sleepy and got turkeys cooking. Probably popsicles freezing today. I just want to encourage you. I want to take a moment. Can I get keyboard back up just for a moment? I really felt led during worship that we need to pray for some individuals. There's some individuals here that you've been feeling stuck. Like you've been in a rut and you can't get out of it, or you've drawn a line and said, God, this is as far as I go. I'm not doing any more. I'm not putting any more into it. You've given up on what God has called you to do. Maybe you've given up on a relationship that He's called you to. You've given up on your spouse or your children. Maybe your job, your employment, your employer. And I believe God would speak life into that situation and say, go forth and take dominion. Go forth with your authority in Christ Jesus. Walk in my laws, my decrees. Walk in my morals and values. Do what I've called you to do and keep that your focus. And don't be distracted by the inconvenience. Don't be distracted by the lies, maybe even slander. Don't be distracted by the fiery darts of the enemy. But focus on praising me first in your life. Focus on loving me first in your life. Focus on being the man or woman of God I've called you to be in your life. And you will see your situation resolved. You will see it come together, and you will see God glorified in it. So if you would come forward, if you would be one of those people, I want to pray with you today. So I believe God wants to break some chains today. He wants to get some people out of some ruts today. And He wants to set you free in the power and authority of Jesus Christ like you have not experienced before. Father, we worship you, Lord God. Father, just begin to worship Him. We'll give people a few more minutes to come, and then we'll jump into prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we exalt you. We praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, Lord God. Father, we worship you, God. Father, we exalt you. You are glorious, Father. You are worthy of our praise, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. My faith will stand. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Father, we believe right now, Lord Jesus, that you're a God of the impossible, that you make all things possible. God, I would ask for those that are gathered up here today, right now, Lord God, Father, that you would begin opening doors, that you would begin breaking the bondages, the chains, God, that have kept them, whether, God, it be fear, whether it be rejection, Lord God. Father, I ask that you would begin to break them right now in Jesus' name. God, that you would loose your Holy Spirit into their lives, God, that their faith would be built. Father, that their faith would begin to grow, God, that the truth of your word, God, would begin to come their focus, Lord God. Father, that their love for you would begin to come their focus, Lord God, that their honor and glory to you, God, would begin to become their focus. And God, I ask that as you go before them, God, as they put you first, God, that you would begin to move the distractions, God, that you would begin to move the barriers, God, that you would begin to move, God, all those things in their path that are meant to harm them, meant to distract them, meant to hold them back. But Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would loose them. God, give them clarity and vision. God, I ask for their home lives, God. God, that you would show them, reveal in your word, God, your structure for the family, for the lives, Lord God. Father, in business, Father, that you would give them clarity of mind of business, God, according to your word, the truth of it, God, that it would be applied, that it would be grown and developed, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God, right now, in Jesus' name, God, that from this day forward, there would no longer be a barrier, that there would no longer be a rut, but God, that you would give them strength and perseverance, endurance, Lord God, to climb the mountains. God, that they would build and grow and develop in you, Lord God, producing much fruit, God, that would bring you glory. God, producing fruit in their personal lives, in their family lives, in their relationships across town. God, in their places of employment, Lord God. God, that they would begin to see those things begin to happen in their lives, God, that they've been praying for, that they've been seeking you for. God, that you would open up new doors of opportunity. God, that you would open up doors, God, to speak into people's lives that they never thought possible, Lord God. Father, that the truth of your word would be spoken. God, opening up, revealing eyes. God, to see deeper into the Spirit, Lord God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God wants to take each of you to the mountaintop. He wants each of you to be great mountain climbers. He wants each of you to experience all that he has for you. So don't stop short of his glory. Don't stop short. Because he says he'll pour out his blessing from his storehouse. So don't look around you and limit yourself to what you see on this earth. Begin to pray, God, I want all that you have in store for me, Lord God. I want you, Lord God, to open up your storehouse and pour out your blessing, God, that I may be blessed to be a blessing to those around me. Because God's not going to send a blessing if you're just going to hoard it up. But he will send a blessing that will bless you beyond your imagination if you'll continue to bless those beyond you. Put God first in your finances. Put God first in your relationships. Put God first in your businesses and your employment. Put God first in your lives and see if he won't pour out from his storehouse. Amen. Father, we worship you, Lord God. Father, we praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys are welcome to stay up front and pray if you like. I'm going to invite Wayne to close us out. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Arby. Truly appreciate the blessing you are in our lives and our community. Package. lot to go over today. First thing is, would you put your name and addresses on there, or contact information, especially if it's changed, so that we can keep in touch with you. Then on the back of the Connect card, we have several things that we can go over. If you would like to volunteer for the Kruski Days, as we mentioned before, please feel free to check that box, and then someone from the church will contact you to see what you're available to do. And you know, you don't have to sign up for the entire weekend, so whatever fits your schedule, we can make that.